Brother Claire Rose. This man was saved at 5 years old. He was Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit when he was 12. Called to be a preacher at 17. Has received his 50-year recognition from the Assemblies of God. Boy, you're old. I'm only 70. What am I saying? He's been married for 61 years. In fact, I'd never met him until last Wednesday night. He was sitting down there near where Brother Moore is. And he was sitting next to this lady, and I saw a wedding ring on her finger and a wedding ring on his finger. I just put them together. Well, the lady was Mark Wooten's mother. I said, "Is this your wife?" Before I knew that, he said, "No, she's my mother." I said, I don't believe that. He said, "Well, she's like a mother to me." She has been a blessing to Brother Rose and his wife. This man has pastored for a total of 50 years in Kansas and Ohio. His last ministry was in Vista, California, as a senior adults pastor. And tonight, he's going to come and share a little bit of the fruit of these many, many years of ministry. Brother Rose, welcome to the platform.
Six years ago, Joy and I moved to the city here, and first thing we wanted to do was join the church. So we went through 101 and 201 and 301. And Brother Bradford came by and said, "There must be an easier way to get you into the church." And I said, "Oh, no, it's fun for us to see it from this side and to go along." Now, this is the central church. Now, you folk that you're natives here, you don't know how important that is. Out and around here, that's what people know, is that this is the central church at Central Assembly. Everybody's welcome. Come and meet the Savior here. How many remember that chorus? No, yes, some of you do. That goes back to Brother Zimmerman's days when we were in school here. And we're just enjoying it immensely being here. Where else could you be and get the teaching from these people who have spent their lifetime studying the Word of God and sharing it? And the college and university and seminary, the whole structure that comes here to teach. We attend Brother Wave Nunley's class, and every once in a while I want to raise my hand, but I'm afraid if I say something I'll get voted off the island, and I don't want to do that. But we're so blessed, and I just feel that this is a privilege of us. The inspiration from the pulpit is just great through the pastoral ministry, and also the guest speakers that are here, and the missionaries. I was a missionary at heart. I wanted to go to the mission field, but the superintendent said I couldn't, so I stayed home. But I've always had a heart for missions and love that so dearly, so much. And so we're enjoying it here. You natives, it's not a big deal to you, but to us, it's a big deal. And let me ask you, where can you go to Sunday school and have the songs led by the Attorney General of the Assemblies of God and of the United States of America? That's pretty good. Somebody said, "What are you doing now that you're retired for the second time?" And I said, "I'm sitting and soaking. And I don't feel condemned at all. I just learn something all the time." And I spent 50 years getting other people ready for heaven. And I said, "Now I'm concentrating on me." I have a friend who signs his letter, "Jesus is coming. If he doesn't come for us all together, he will come for us one at a time." And I got the feeling I'm in that bracket. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Now, we're represented here in this group with so many gifted teachers and some excellent preachers, because I've heard them preach. And we've got enough former district officials here that we could have our own district. We could just have our own district here. I served as the assistant superintendent of Kansas, and I did that while my friend Daryl Musgrove was the superintendent. And I actually just rode shotgun whenever he'd go out west to those wild churches out there like Dodge City. I just kind of rode shotgun while he settled the score at the OK Corral, you know. Now, my friend left out one thing, and it happens to be my disclaimer. I'm 82. I want you to know that, so that that's my disclaimer, that if something is not quite right, you can excuse me by knowing that. I need to recognize a couple here, though, tonight that are very special to Joy and I. It's Tom and Marilyn Fish. Just wave to me, Marilyn and Tom. These folk were in our church in Topeka, Kansas, when we were under a full head of steam. And Tom served on the board, and Marilyn worked at the church. Just anything that needed to be done, she was that kind of person. That's what she did. And I want to salute you, Tom, for the way you care for Marilyn. I just want you to know that we appreciate the care. And Marilyn, you can tell them what a nice guy I was, but don't tell them about my illustrated sermons, will you not? You remember the one, this church is being robbed? Yeah. I preached 12 years in Topeka, and that's the only sermon they know. And it was a good sermon, but it crashed in a big way. And if I've spiked your curiosity, ask Joy, because she delights in telling people about this one, because she has gone through several crashes with me on my illustrated sermons. And had a guy up in the balcony with a trumpet to blow the archangel's trumpet when Jesus was going to come, and I expected everybody to come rushing to the altar. But he'd been licking the mouthpiece all during the service. And when he got ready to blow, you never heard such an uncertain tone in your life. What was supposed to send people to the altar sent them out the door laughing. So don't tell them that story. Let's put the anchor scripture on the board tonight. This is a hard verse or series of verses to read in concert, but let's try it because this is kind of the anchor for tonight. So let's read together, please. So that see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those which may remain. Wherefore, we receiving of a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, tonight, I just thought perhaps the thing that I should do is give you just some word of testimony from my own heart, my own life, and then I want to tell you an incident and a story that impacted me greatly. And I want you to know beforehand that I have permission to tell the story. Now, we're all aware of the shaking that goes on, and so just to give you a little preamble of what I really want to say, let me remark and remind you of the things that are unshakable. And the first is the Word of God. We all know that. I grew up in a church in Bethany Temple in Everett, Washington, under the direction of Charles E. Butterfield. And he used to have an evangelist come through by the name of Brother Jonas. Brother Jonas had memorized great segments of the Bible, and most of his preaching was just the quoting of the Bible. But I will never forget, as a young man, he would hold up the Bible and he would say, I believe it from cover to cover, and I believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. I'd gone to Seattle to help officiate in a funeral, and I was flying back from Seattle to San Diego. And I had the last seat on the airplane that was clear at the back bulkhead. And I'm crammed in there, and of course, you know, as the airplane goes this way, the seats seem to get narrower. And I was always afraid for whoever might come sitting next to me, because I've had the experience where they pull the handle up and sit on me rather than the chair. And so I was a little worried about what would happen. Two young men came in, though, and sat down beside me, excellent-looking young men. And I started a conversation with them, found out that they were from Alaska, and they were headed for San Diego. They were pretty well resolved in talking to themselves, and so I dropped my conversation with them, but I noticed that they were looking at kind of a couple of slick magazines, and I didn't want to peek over because I thought maybe they're looking at something I shouldn't look at, you know. So I waited, and finally when the captain came on and said, buckle up, we're going down now to land at Lindbergh Field, I noticed they closed the book, and both books said, The Making of a Marine. And I realized then these young men had enlisted and were headed for Camp Pendleton. And as they got up, I told them, I said, I appreciate what you young men are doing. You're enlisting when we're at war, and I want to thank you. And I'm going to be praying for you. And one of them turned with his eyes real misty. He said, pray every day. Pray every day. And I got to thinking, this is the making of a Christian. That's what this is. That's the manual. The Word of God, it'll stand. It's not shaking. Then, of course, the next thing is the Church of God. The Church, it's going to stand. One of my friends by the name of Marlon Kalavig, he said, Rose, we got the prime cut of the Assemblies of God. I'm not quite sure what he meant, but I think I do. But there's one thing true. Our generation had some great preachers. We're kind of defining the pulpit now as a teaching ministry, which is great. And the men on the West Coast where I came from, most of it is the teaching ministries. But our generation had some great pulpiteers, and one of them is the one you know, Brother Paul Lohnberg. Now understand, in the later years, Paul preached the same sermon over and over again, but in his prime, he was the preacher of our generation. He had two sermons. Well, he had many, but he had two in particular. One was, his hand clave to the sword. And I said, Brother Lowe, I have got to have those notes. That sermon needs to be preached at every ordination service. His hand clave to the sword. He said, Rose, I don't have any outline for that. I just get up and preach it. But he has another sermon. And I have preached this one. He just took Matthew 16, I will build my church. And most of you, I sure have heard him preach that. And I told him, Lo, where you haven't preached it, I have. And that's for true, I have. I know it by heart. I, the personal pronoun. This is God speaking. Pay attention, I. Will, this is not debatable. It's guaranteed. Build. He's with his fingers sent the stars out, and with his word he created the world. But he's hand building his church. And then he used to say, my church, and I can hear him thunder yet. It's not John Knox's Presbyterian church. It's not Charles Wesley's Methodist church. It's not Martin Luther's Lutheran church, and it's not the TV evangelist electronic church. It's his church. By the time he got that far along, I'm standing in the chair yelling. Oh, yeah. The church will stand through the turmoil. Third thing, of course, is the love of God. And here's where I kind of want to zero in tonight. Defining our words in religion is quite an experience for us. faith. We went from Greek to German to try and figure out what Martin Luther was talking about when he was nailing 95 theses to a door. And grace, we've gone all the way around grace and finally wound up singing John Newton's poem. That it's amazing. See, we're still out here trying to find definitions for these words. Now, I found a word. It was given to me by George and Billy Davis. They were barnstorming across Kansas teaching us how to build Sunday schools. And she gave a lecture on the word balance. And I grabbed that word. I said, that's my word, balance. And it's good that I did, because it helped me through latter rain, Detroit City and Ma Bell. Detroit, wonderful move of God. And then along came the call to holiness, and we probably needed a call to holiness. That was good. And then along came name it, claim it, and we needed to learn some things about stepping out in faith. And then Brownsville came, and we needed some manifestations to draw attention to people. And then Hillsong came along. But in all of these things, I kept hold of my word balance. Now, I missed some of the high spots and these high ethereal glory areas, but I missed the ditches. I missed the ditches with my name, balance. Now, the same with the love of God. I learned a new definition for the love of God. When I hit 65, I was pastoring a church in Columbus, Ohio. And I decided that I had had it, 3 preparations a week. I just couldn't stay fresh. And besides, I felt there comes a time when us old geeks ought to turn loose of the baton and give it to somebody else. I was very strong about that. I said, there's another generation coming along. We need to make room. I'd seen some men who just could not turn loose of the baton, and they'd fall on their face in the cinders and embarrass themselves and sometimes have a hard time recovering. So I'm out of there. I'm headed for California. Landed in San Diego, attended Dr. Dresselhaus's church. Oh, that's an experience, folks. That is some kind of experience. Like sitting under the teaching of the seminary teacher every Sunday morning. Once in a while, I got to fill in for him, and when Mrs. Dresselhaus wasn't at the organ, Joy was. And we were just having a great time. All of a sudden, I get this phone call. Young man said, I'm been voted into a church up here in the valley, and I'm trying to turn this old freighter around, and the old folk are slipping off the deck. He said, do you think you could come and help me? Maybe nail one foot down or something for me. Well, I think Dr. Dresselhaus had put him up to this because this young man had been converted in Brother Dresselhaus' church. So I said, well, I have never served as a staff person. I don't know if I can sit in the corner and be quiet or not, but I'd like to try. So we took the job and joined these 4 young men, all under 30 years of age, and this 70-year-old geek. But folks, I had the time of my life. I watched those young men turn that old freighter around. And I watched how this dying church, and they didn't mean to be dying. They were trying, but they just couldn't get it done. This dying church to a wonderful, vibrant church. And those 4 guys took that church of 200 up to 1,300 in 6 years. Now, we were all working 90 hours a week, but still, it got done. And I'm just riding along. They moved the organ off and moved the drums on. Broke Joy's heart, but they're pressing on. Another set of drums, 5 guitars, dismissed the choir, put a praise group together. We had a Hispanic, we had somebody from Honolulu, we had a Filipino, we had a Jerry, who was the only one who knew how to keep the rhythm. And that, it was great. I'm having the time of my life. Couldn't get used to being called Pastor Claire. I'm used to be calling Pastor Rose, Pastor Claire. I'm shaking hands in between service out in the patio area, and I shook hands with one lady, and she started laughing. She says, oh, she said, I'm sorry, but this is my first time at the church. She said, I picked up the bulletin and saw Pastor Claire Rose. I thought, how mod, they got a lady as a pastor. I felt so good, I was going to, you know, Pastor Claire, maybe I should just go by St. Claire. So I had Joy look it up. St. Claire happens to be a Catholic nun. Every doctor in this town thinks I'm a girl. I get letters from the colleges I attend. Ms. Rose. Ms. Claire Rose. I called one of the colleges to try and straighten it out. And the little lady said, well, how do you spell your name? I said, C-H-A-R-L-E-S. Charles Wesley Rose has a nice ring, don't you think? But Claire, well, that's tough. That's tough, Doc. That's tough. You ladies will appreciate this. It all started here at CBI. My school sweater came with the buttons on the wrong side. But I got news for you. I get my feelings because the local symphony here is the only one that gives me some respect. Yep. When they send me money, you know, done for money, fundraising, they address me as Dr. Claire Rose. I save every one of those envelopes. Tuck them away. Part of our duties was the Wednesday night service and all the other things that go along with the activities. And then to speak when the pastor was away. Now, I argued with him about this. I said, listen, you got three other guys here. They work hard. You learn to preach by preaching. You need to preach them. He said, I'll preach them when I'm here, not when I'm gone. So that was a vote of confidence for me. So now when it was one service a Sunday, it was all right. But when it was three services every Sunday, that's hard work. The hard part is getting that third sermon to stay hot. So sometimes I'd switch and preach another sermon. But anyhow, it was an interesting experience. And the first time I spoke, there was a little girl, high school girl, that sang, and she was like a young Sandy Patty. And so I went to the music director, and I said, can she sing when I preach? She said, sure. So I kind of adopted the little girl, and she sang, and I'd preach, and she'd call me and say, what are you preaching on? She'd get the song fit. So she got a scholarship, a music scholarship, to a rather prestigious university, and we gave her the send-off, and away she went. Christmas came. She comes home, very much pregnant. I really felt badly. Her mother came to me and said, this is so out of character for my daughter. I cannot accept this or imagine what has happened. And I felt sorry for the girl too, but I was so mad. I cannot tell you the feelings I had towards this guy with long hair, a beard, and a guitar on his shoulder that had seduced her. And I was just angry at him. And I said, if I ever get a chance, he's going to get the lecture of his life. So I got some books together for her, the Crittenden Home and such things. Said, if she comes and asks me, I'll help her. Now, if I ever get a chance to tee off on him, he better have a good hold because I'm angry. But that's not how it happened. The young pastor went to the young girl and said, listen, don't you run off and hide. You belong to us. You're ours. You stay here. We'll provide a covering for you. And when the baby is born, you bring the baby to me and we'll dedicate it to Jesus. And then he went to the young man. He said, now you told me about your background and you're almost homeless. But you've been coming to church here. And you have been a part now of a very embarrassing situation. You've embarrassed yourself. You've embarrassed this young lady. You embarrassed the church. Now you need to repent and get saved and follow Jesus. And the young man said, okay. Came down to the altar and brokenheartedly repented and asked the Lord in his life. Now the baby's born. I got to hold it. Cute little. She had the roundest head you've ever seen. And she looked up at me and she said, who are you? And I said, I'm your grandpa. I adopted your mama. I had to hold her. So sure enough, one Sunday morning, pastor called her up with her mother and father, dedicated the little tyke to Jesus. We all stood. He said, now, commission the church. Help us care for this little child. Then the young lady went to the young man and said, listen, if you'll get a job and prove you can support me, I'll marry you. So he trimmed his beard, got a job. She said, let me see your check. She said, that's not enough. Got to get a better job than that. So he cut his whiskers off, got a haircut, got a sport coat, got a job. She said, okay, that's enough. So they planned a wedding. Now, I'd been trained the way you do this on a situation like that. You bring them in the side door. You spread all the important papers out on the desk. You get the mothers and fathers of each of them. Then you make them feel real guilty, and then you marry them, and you send them out the door, and you never see them again. But our pastor didn't do that. We'll have a church wedding. So I decided, you know, I need to support this young girl. I really love her. I love her family, and I know that the wedding is for her family and her immediate friends, but I'm going to go. So, Charles, I drove up, and somebody had parked in my parking spot. And some buddies had parked in all of the parking spots. I circled that parking lot looking for a spot. 2 blocks down the road, I found a place to park. I came back, and all 1,300 of that congregation are trying to get into an auditorium that seats 6. They're in the patio. They're in the foyer. They're on the outside on on the school grounds. They're all over. I had to pull rank to get in. I said, I'm Pastor Claire. I said, we know that. I said, I need to get inside the church. So little by little, they made room for me. And finally, an usher saw me and came and got me and took me and stood me against the back wall by my office door. And there I stood. And pretty soon, a guy walked out with a guitar, sat on a stool. Began to sing Ecclesiastes 3. It's a guitar. Time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace. Then the pastor, young man came out, stood up. Young lady came down the aisle on her father's arm, stood in front. Now the young pastor there, he had a 5-point wedding message. He gave it every time. I whispered to him one time, said, why don't you give that message while you're counseling them? He said, I do. But this gives me a shot at the whole congregation as to how to have a good, strong marriage. Now, it probably was only 7 or 8 minutes, but in a wedding, it feels like eternity. I thought he'd never quit. But he finally got it all said. And the guy with the guitar, he starts playing again. And they turn. Pastor introduces them. Walked down the aisle. And then somebody stood up. And I'm kind of shocked. I'm worried. What is this? And somebody handed a little baby girl all dressed in white to her daddy. And the three of them walked down the aisle to thunderous applause. And I stood on the back wall just crying like a child. I said, now I know what's going on. It's the word acceptance. Acceptance. The pastor had led the way and the congregation had followed. They'd accepted this. I needed to learn that word. Acceptance. The story doesn't end there. Pastor got with him and said, now both of you can sing, so I want you to lead The chorus is for the junior high. Then he bumped them up to the senior high. Then the youth pastor left and he said, would you take over the youth for a little while? And so the young man came to me and said, you got any stuff? I said, yeah, I got stuff. I got all kinds of stuff. He said, I need some stuff. So I gave him some books, some programs, some songs, some ideas. So then he comes back to me and said, you know, Pastor Claire, I think I need to go to college. I said, best idea you've had. I said, why don't you start at the JUCO here and you go on from there? He said, okay. So he went to night school, worked during the day, took care of his family. Then he switched off. He went to school during the day and worked at night. Then I left and came here, but I followed him. I got word he'd graduated from the university. Then Joy handed me a piece of paper from the Southern California District. He had been credentialed with the Assemblies of God. So last year, Joy and I flew out. The pastor very graciously and wonderfully, when he'd gone his mission trips, he'd fly us back to the church. And so we would have the fun of just being with that wonderful church for 3 or 4 weeks. And so the last time we went back, the couple drove down to see us and spend Sunday morning with us. So I had the little girl sing, of course. And then I interviewed him. I told the congregation, you need to be proud of this couple for what they have accomplished. So I interviewed him. So he walked over to the end of the altar and he said, right here, this spot is where I got saved. Took a couple more steps. He said, here's where I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So then I took a dollar offering to pay for their gas that they had come down and all. And then after the service, I took him by the shoulder and I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. He said, I'm starting my doctoral program. Nothing would have happened without that word. Nothing would have happened without accepting. I learned the word. Goes along with my word balance now. I don't know how many of you knew L.L. Ammons, old Brother Ammons. He told me, Rose, if you're not going to give an altar call, don't preach. So, I'm going to give an altar call, okay? Now, if I was home, I'd look at the wings, and I'd look up at the balcony, and I'd remember something. I would remember when that hippie came and dropped his satchel off in our foyer and walked down the aisle barefoot and said, can I dance at your altar? I wish I'd have had my word then. And when the young couple came to me and said, Pastor, would you perform our wedding? We've been divorced. I wish I'd have had that word then. Young man in came to me in Ohio when I was there, and he said, I came to Ohio State because there's a large gay population here, but he said, I think I need to go to church. Can I come here? I wish I'd have had that word then. And the prodigal who stood outside the church and said, I don't think you like me because you preach so hard against sin. And so if I were giving the altar call now, I'd look up on the balcony and I'd say, is there anybody up there that wants to lay down your burden and come and, if not dance, at least stand before the Lord? And I'd tell the young couple, I'd say, you know, there's a long, long altar and there's room at the cross for you if you need to solve some things. And I'd look at the balcony and say, is there any of you young people up there that are struggling with the social pressures of this time? Do you need some help? There's room at the altar. And the prodigal? I'd tell him there's always a waiting father. Always a waiting father. But there's no balcony here. Just us. So, my call to you is simple. Try my word on for size. Accept. You don't need me to tell you the church is not only changing, it has changed. And there's some things going on that are absolutely foreign to us that have been 50 years in the ministry. If I were to go back to the church where I feel I have my most gratifying, satisfying ministry, I wouldn't recognize it now. I wouldn't recognize it. But let me suggest that we get a hold of this word. Let's not be left behind. Let's ride the wagon. Let's not drag our feet. And maybe we'll have to do some accepting. Try the word on.